Well, hello there. Welcome to season 4, episode 36 of the Still Becoming podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Today, we're going to be talking about anxiety, and it ties in with some of the other things we've been talking about this season, particularly about how to walk strong in the culture, how to keep our focus, how to reflect God's love and peace to a lost and hurting world. So many of us are anxious. We're anxious about a great many things. And so I've invited my friend, Casey Schuler, to come to us and talk to us about her book, Aligned, Returning to God's Perfect Peace in an Anxious World. Aligned is a devotional. It is a Bible study. You can use it with a small group. And it is interactive. I love that about the book. I'm going to let Casey tell you more about it, but let me tell you a little bit about Casey. Casey Schuler lives with her husband and two daughters in Athens, Georgia. And she's the author of several books, including Aligned, Returning to God's Perfect Peace in an Anxious World. She works with clients as an ACSM personal trainer and a Revelation Wellness Fitness instructor. Her mission is to help go-getters feel empowered in their bodies, encouraged in their spirits, and energized for their life, reflecting a God of eternal life. Will you please welcome to the Still Becoming podcast, my friend, and kindred spirit when it comes to body image, dieting, and all those things, Casey Schuler. Hi there, friends. Welcome to the Still Becoming podcast, a place where women like you and me find help to move from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Laura Acuna. The Still Becoming podcast is where we gather to rethink our thinking about ourselves, our lives, and about our God. We will learn to reframe our shame and trade in limiting beliefs for the liberating truth from God's word. And why the title Still Becoming? Because that's the Christian journey, isn't it? As we apply God's perfect word to our lives for growth and change, we are always growing, always learning, and still becoming the women He created us to be. It's never perfect, and it's not too late. Do I need to say that again? It is never perfect, and it is not too late. I am so glad you're here for the journey, and I'm praying that God will speak directly to you through today's episode. Are you ready? Let's go. Well, hello, Casey. Welcome to the Still Becoming podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. What an honor and privilege.
So we were talking off air just before we came on, and we discovered that 1 year ago today, the day we're releasing this podcast, I was on your podcast. You were interviewing me when my book was released.
Yes, I know. It was such great timing. We could not have planned ourselves.
I know. We even had to postpone this. So we're just counting that God has some purpose for this coincidence, Godcidence, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for having me on your show. And I so enjoyed meeting you and learning more about your ministry, the Joyful Health Company.
I'm so excited to connect. I think a lot of our ministry and thought and heart for women really overlaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love what you're doing in your space. I'm going to have all of Casey's links in the show notes, and you're going to learn more about her as we go along. So we're here today to talk about your devotional book, Aligned. And I want you to tell us, you know, why you wrote the book and what is the heart behind Aligned?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's funny because a lot of my books came out of appointments with a physical therapist, which Rest and Rise came out of that. And this book came out of a chiropractor appointment. So I had never been to a chiropractor. Well, I had been to one years and years ago, but my back, especially my upper back, has been so tense ever since I had my second baby. And I've tried to figure it out. I've tried all these exercises. I'm a personal trainer. So I kind of know, you know, how to treat the body and how to really treat tension. And nothing I was doing was working. And so I was visiting my business partner in Oklahoma, and we were filming a course actually, and her husband's a chiropractor. And I said, hey, can you align me? I know that you're a chiropractor. You may have some, we had a little bit of extra time. And he said, sure. And so he asked me a series of questions, and he tested my leg strength on one side. It was really weak. And I am a person who identifies with my performance to a fault. And so for me to be physically weak was embarrassing. And he was like, okay, we got some work to do here. And so he asked me another series of questions. And then he had me say, you know, like where, he's like, I think this is an emotional block. And I wasn't following, but I just listened to him. And he said, well, where, he's like, this block is from bitterness. And so I didn't know what was going on, but I just played along. And he said, okay, think of where the times when you feel strong. And so I thought, okay, I feel strong when I'm teaching fitness classes. So as I was doing that, he had prayed over me. He didn't tell me that until later. And then I kind of like tried to figure out where that bitterness was and to release it to the Lord. I didn't know what that meant. And then I thought at the same time of like, okay, when I feel strong, this is how I feel. And then he retested that hip strength and it was 70% stronger. I thought, what did you just do?
Wow.
So that really opened a whole new world for me. And I thought, okay, he just aligned my body in a way that he like released an emotional block. Something was stuck that I was holding on to that I wasn't aware of. So that's something. And then I realized that misalignment is pain and alignment is connection and peace. And so when our body is properly aligned, we can move and live functionally in the way that we are designed to. For example, if your head is even just slightly forward, like degrees forward, if you are looking at your phone, if you think about an invisible line going from, you know, the top of your head through the heels of your feet, if you take that alignment off slightly, the gravity, you can feel it pulling on your neck forward. But when we are aligned properly, you know, if you're sitting up straight, we are in alignment with gravity, with the forces of gravity. And so we are able to carry, we're able to carry our bodies the way that God has designed us, you know. And when I've struggled with anxiety, and so the Lord was kind of teaching me both of these lessons of when you are properly aligned with my promises, then you will experience the peace that I have given you. But when you are living out here, like when you're neck is forward or when your arms are out. And I think of anxiety as being like frayed wires, but walking in integrity is being able to walk with the Lord and balance that out and doing what we know to be true with what he has given us. And so that caused me to explore integrity as being the solution to anxiety. So when we don't know what to do, when we don't know the solution, when we feel the pain of uncertainty, how can we come back? How can we return to the peace that God has already given us? Because as Christians, we don't. And I know that there is anxiety that needs to be medicated, that there are some chemical imbalances, that we have the gift of medication and therapy to be able to do that. But also, are we walking in the promises of God that he has given us? Are we standing firm in what we know to be true? Or are we aligning with the culture and with the unsettledness that comes with things being fleeting and things constantly changing? The body ideal is changing and everything else is constantly changing. And we need that security and we can find that in the Lord. So this is what that study kind of helps that person do, is walk you through anxiety to integrity and taking those steps to come back to what you know to be true.
I love the analogy of the chiropractor aligning your spine so that you can walk strong and upright. Mm-hmm. And move forward and not be encumbered. And it's the same in our spiritual life. When it's out of whack, when it's out of, how many of us have been unaligned, disaligned, whatever the word is, with those frayed wires? I can picture that myself. And of course, we know, we don't need to even quote studies. We all know that anxiety is rampant, rampant among everyone, our kids, teenagers, young children, women, men as well. I mean, it's just, there's a lot to be anxious about. Mm-hmm. I also love the way you're relating relief from anxiety to integrity. That's new. That is new to me. And so I want you to say more about that if you can.
For sure. So I think of characters from scripture, and one that I talk about in this book is Job. He was suffering. He didn't know why he was suffering. I think many of us, when we are suffering, or when things are out of control for us, we can feel anxious because we don't know what's happening. We don't know why. We don't know what the next step is forward. And so we can feel just like a very unsettled place to be. But Job, why was he so anchored? How could he still trust God in the middle of not knowing, of really not knowing why his family was taken away, why he was so unhealthy when he was the picture of perfect health and when he was praised in the city gates, when he had family surrounding him? What was happening? He didn't have answers, but he wasn't anxious about what God's plan was for him. He knew that his Redeemer lived. And so, and his wife said to him, "Why do you still hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die." Mm-hmm. She told him, yes. Which is really rough. And that word stood out to me of, oh, he's holding on to his integrity. What does that mean? He trusted his experience. He trusted his experience of God. And he wasn't going to deny that. And that is what made him strong in the face of adversity. For us, what do we absolutely know to be true? How do we know that to be true? If we can stand on that, that is the rock of faith that Jesus talks about. It's something that we, no matter what happens to us, no argument can stand against someone with experience. It's like, you can tell me this, but I know what I know to be true. And if we can stand firmly on that and the Lord, then anxiety is like a fog that we can just walk through.
Wow. And you're bringing to mind that, you know, this, you're not talking about quoting Bible verses. You're talking about what you know to be true about the character of God, what you know. And the way you know that is from being in the Word of God for yourself, not just digging into Beth Moore, not just listening to your pastor on Sundays, all great things, but knowing the Word of God for yourself. Mm. And it really helps to know it ahead of time before anxiety hits. Not too late to dive in if you haven't, but I'm thinking of times when God literally would, to use your word, be calling me back to realignment. Mm-hmm. You know, Laura, spend more time with me. Laura, sit in the chair, stop moving around, quit racing from one thing to another. I would feel the Holy Spirit tugging on me. And sometimes I obeyed that and sometimes I didn't. But almost every single time, I could find a reason why, that ahead of time, he was preparing me for a stressful season or for something that was coming. And I've learned to obey. Mm. He's so kind like that. He is so kind. The answer is standing on what you believe, standing on the rock.
And how have you learned that you need to obey?
By consequences of not.
Because you knew from experience.
Yes, exactly. And how faithful and kind he is, and I can trust him. Yes. You know, that's there's no replacement for that.
Right. He rewards those who seek him. And so you've experienced that reward when you do seek him. And so and the consequences of when you don't. I think there's so much value in our experience and of our experiencing God, and for that to bring us back to him, to return to that. It's not something that we have to chase or strive for or earn, because I think that's what a lot of anxiety is I'm going to continue chasing and running after this thing and not getting it and not knowing when I'm going to get it or not knowing if I'm going to get it. Whereas peace is knowing that God has already paid the price for you. He's already here and you just have to be with him.
Exactly. Exactly. So what does anxiety look like for you? Or what have you battled? What have been the false beliefs that you've dealt with?
Very true. I think, and this is something that I asked my husband of, do you think these same thoughts as me? My reoccurring thought has been something that I've been taking captive is, am I doing the best thing right now, or should I be doing something else? Mm. And that thought keeps me from being present, because I'm always evaluating what is the better thing that I should be doing. And so my mind is always trying to prioritize when the Lord's like, I've already given you that. I've already given you the answer. Can you just rest and do and stop thinking about it? So integrity is walking, and integrity is doing what you believe. And so the Lord showed me, you have to stop overthinking things and be obedient and do.
You know,
I've already told you to do.
You're reminding me of Martha and Mary. And, you know, Martha's in the kitchen, you know, getting ready for a social event with Jesus in her house. And she's all Twitter-pated, and she runs out to Jesus because her sister Mary is sitting at his feet listening to his teaching. And Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about a great many things." And I heard I heard a speaker say, I haven't checked this, but a speaker who I very greatly respect and who I'm sure is telling the truth, said that the translation of that, you're worried about a great many things, is Martha, Martha, you have a great crowd in your head.
Oh.
And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a Martha. I have a great crowd in my head. And so my girlfriends who were with me the day we heard that, every now and again, they'll go, Laura, there's a great crowd in your head, meaning stop overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Jesus say? He says to Martha, Mary's chosen the right thing,
mm-hmm.
best thing, the most needed thing. What some translations, the most needed thing, sitting at his feet, not doing for him, but being with him.
Exactly. Right. And so when I say do, for me, my worldly, self-centered view of being obedient is to continue to do things that the world would count as valuable versus the Lord's doing being really redefined in every single moment. So for Martha and Mary to walk in integrity was to sit at his feet, and because she knew what was most important, what was most valuable in that moment, instead of just running in circles. And when you said that too, of a great crowd, I put this quote in here too. This is what I feel like anxiety is when I heard this quote of the whole world at your fingertips. We are so more connected digitally than ever,
yeah.
with the ocean at your door.
Wow.
And so just feeling this immense pressure right at the door. And if I open this door, then I would be consumed and flooded because we just feel so overwhelmed with all the things that we need to do versus Jesus is right here. He's right here and we can return to him.
Isn't it interesting that with more connection comes more anxiety? I think that's so interesting. My husband and I are planning a trip to France in September, and we have not been. The last time I was there, I was 16, and we were talking about how to get our cell phones to work over there, you know, make sure that Verizon has the international plan and all this stuff about it. And there's some anxiety about it. And I realized that when I was 16 in 1975, we didn't have cell phones. Those chaperones from my high school turned us loose in Paris the first day we were there. My parents put me on an airplane across the ocean without a cell phone, without any, I mean, and yet we're so much more anxious now.
Mm-hmm.
Where if one of my children flew across the ocean, I could text them all the way across.
Right.
If I wanted to. You know, it's just amazing. You look back and go, how did they survive that? How did they not know where I was? How did the chaperone trust us to come back on time without nagging us and sending us reminders? It was a completely different mindset.
But there is that. I mean, there's a, I think you referenced this before, there's an illusion of control with our digital connectivity of that. If I can be connected to this person, then I can control it. But then that really flips upside down the order of creation of that. Mm-hmm. We actually can't control what's going on, especially across the world.
Exactly.
And so when we think we can, there's a lot of anxiety.
Yes.
Because there's a lot is out of our hands. So what, and that's part of the process too, is what can we learn to let go? And we can't really do that until we know what we can stand firm in. So naming, what is it that I do not know? Being able to tame that. And then naming, what do I actually know? What has God given to me? And then taking this next step and learning to let the rest go.
So that brings me to the different categories that you have in your book each week, and knowing what to let go of is part of that, and letting know, live what you know, name what you don't know. I love the way this book is structured. So I told you I was going to ask you to tell us, what does a typical day or week look like in this book in Aligned?
For sure. Yes. So it is 7 weeks. And I did design it to go through it with groups. So at the end of each week, there is a recap. So it is really built in for leaders too of, okay, even if no one has read it this week, let's talk about the high points and let's have a discussion about that.
Love it.
And I also designed it in a way that I had a hard time doing lengthy Bible studies where I had to jump back and forth to lots of different scriptures. And that made me more anxious because I would get on my phone and then I would go down a rabbit hole to look up something if I didn't have my Bible at hand. And I was like, I just want to read one book. I need to stay in one place, because staying in one place is,
I get it.
You know, being still sometimes a really helpful balm to the anxious hustle and bustle that we have. So any scripture that I have you read, it's going to be right there. So each day for the week, you have a scripture that you talk about. So like the first week is our state of disintegration. Why do we feel like this? And so day one, it's a little devotional, and then there is a verse. And so for your work for that day, you write the verse. And so there's a lot of value in taking a pen to paper and connecting your body into this space and connecting your body to the scripture, to your mind. And so you're really creating a connection there. So I have you write down the verse each day too, to go a little bit slower. And then there's a few questions about that particular passage and about the topic in general. And then you write down your own prayer at the end of the day and then do a centering prayer.
Love it.
So a centering prayer is essentially something that you can use an image or a verse as something as an anchor, or you can use your breath, just something that will help you be still and know that He is God. And that's a really important practice of the study. So you have that through the week. And then there's one question highlighted in each day. And that highlighted question is going to be included in the discussion at the end of the week. So you kind of know, what are we going to talk about this week? Okay, if nothing else, I know that this highlighted question is what we will review. So day five is a review. And I have 4 days each week because I want it to be doable. I don't want it to be 7 days. I don't want people to feel anxious about completing it.
Right, obviously. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yes. And I love the recap. I was telling you off air. I love the recap at the end of each week. Mm-hmm. It's so concise. And when we're scattered, it mm-hmm. kind of brings us back. Okay, this is what I covered this week.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really good.
It's really trying to center you in for each and every part of it. Of what did we talk about? What was that? And what is the promise to that we want to focus on? Because when we know God's, and prayer too, when we pray, we can pray with confidence and integrity when we know God's promises, because He doesn't always answer our surface level and flighty like needs and wants, but He is always true and faithful to His promises. And so when we pray His promises, we can be faithful, or we can be confident to know that mm-hmm. He's going to answer prayer because he's true to Himself.
He is. When I was a young woman, first in Bible study, there were older women who they would take a highlighter or a pen and they would highlight every promise of God as we came across it in Bible study. So they would say, oh, there's a promise. And then they'd highlight it. And they told me they did that because they wanted to be reminded of His promises and get to them quickly when they were feeling anxious or scared.
Yeah.
I thought that was beautiful.
Well, I do have in the appendix to pray the promises of God for anxiety. So they're kind of listed by category. So for example, when you don't feel like you're enough, you can pray the 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so there are a lot of promises of God
there
in
are.
Scripture. And so, which is really beautiful.
But I love that you've organized it in that way. So if I'm feeling anxious about certain things happening in my life, that I can go to what you've put in the back of the book and I can find it quickly and be reassured right away. The whole design of the book is that the experience of the book is calming and centering. I love that. All right. So talk some more about the steps we can take to return to God's peace. What are some of the steps we can do?
Yep. So very simply, when we are anxious, it's an unknown fear. So how can we name what that fear is? And this takes a little bit of reflection. So when I just am feeling general anxiety, sometimes I have to journal and say, I am worried about, and then write it down. You know, prayerfully, I'm worried about this thing. And when I can see that in black and white, I can say, oh, this is the thing that I'm worried about. Now I can pray for this thing. So naming what you do not know and then living what you do know. So Deuteronomy says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed to us belong to us and our children forever. So what are those things that have been given to us so that we can do it and so living that out to be able to walk in integrity. So naming what you don't know, living what you do know, and then learning to let the rest go, and then taking the next step. And learning to let the rest go, I'm always reminded of the serenity prayer of grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Sometimes there are things that we need to be able to go through, and some things we need to be able to let go of. And, you know, something I tell my kids if they're worried about a test is, you know, I think their teachers tell them this too. You can only do your best, and then trust God with the rest. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't include God in the process, but to be able to trust Him with the things that we can't control is very freeing.
I don't know if you know this or not, but life coaching is the second most growing profession in the United States. We probably can thank COVID for that, because so many people came out of that experience wanting change. And that might be you. Are you in a transition? Have the kids left home? Are you thinking about retirement, but you can't make sense of how you are going to be fulfilled and serving God well in the next chapter of your life? If any of this resonates with you, life coaching may be your next right step. Let's find out. Head on over to my webpage, go to the coaching tab, and fill out the free discovery call form. I'd love to encourage you as you embark on your next chapter, helping you uncover your God-given potential, deepen your faith, and build confidence and authenticity. Although every client has their own unique story, my prayer and my goal for each client is that her life will blossom with purpose and faith, and ultimately be overflowing with joy.
I feel like the letting go of the rest is one of the hardest things to do. And,
agreed.
You know, and we tend to do it well one day and not so good the next.
Mm-hmm.
What has helped you with that? I know it's imperfect. It'll never be perfect this side of heaven, but what has helped you with that?
Yes. So the 4 days of how do you let go, letting go of what you don't have. So that can be, sometimes I can be anxious over an answer that I don't have yet. And so, okay, I don't have this answer. I can let go of that, because that's for the Lord. And so to be able to let go of what we don't have yet is a position of meekness and humility and trust.
Mm-hmm. That's integrity right there.
Yeah. And then letting go of what is not yours to own. We don't have to own something to enjoy it or to behold it or to praise God for it. I think we don't own our bodies, and that, you know, one of our greatest comforts is that in life and in death is that I am not my own, but I have been bought with a price. And so letting go of what is not yours to own, when I don't feel like I own it anymore, I don't feel like I have to control it. And I don't have to worry about the results as much, because the Lord he's able.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then letting go of clutter for kingdom clarity is
That's
one
good.
Of those. And the verse I have there for that is, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Spirit. So what is actually important? What is the big picture here? Like, where am I getting really stuck in the weeds? Where am I not seeing the forest for the trees? Where can the Lord lift me up and see His perspective of kingdom clarity? You know, when we're high and lifted up, and we can see, you know, if you're in an airplane, you can see everything very clearly. And so how can we gain the Lord's perspective in that, when we're just feel wrapped up in that anxiety? We feel like crushed by the thorns and the cares of the world. And then number 4 is letting go of uncertainty and asking for wisdom. So when we don't have an answer to, God tells us that we can ask for wisdom without reproach. And it's really letting go is replacing. It's not just, I think of a trapeze artist, you know, they are not going to let go until they have someone to hold on to. And so we have to know what we are grabbing onto before we can truly let go, because we're programmed for safety. Our brain needs to feel safe. And so that's why we need to know the promises of God. So, okay, how can I let go of this thing? I can let go of this because I know that God is good. Mm-hmm. Or I know that He said He'll never leave me or forsake me. Mm-hmm. So I can move away because I know that He will be there in the next place too. So I think we can't let go until we have certainty around the promises of God, or we know His goodness.
You know, I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking about 2024. You wrote this book in 2023, but this book is needed in 2024, even more because of the year we're living in the United States with the election. This is an anxious year.
Mm.
This is an anxious year for no matter what your political persuasion is, and we're not here to talk about that, but our country, the people in our country are are fearful. They're fearful. And one of the things that I keep coming back to is the promises of God, that no matter what happens, as my pastor says, our Messiah is not riding in on Air Force One. We have a king who is sovereign over all. And I believe that. I believe that. And I apply that to the small things in my life and the big things in my life. Because if we say he's not sovereign, what are we saying? We're saying that he's weak. We're saying that he doesn't care. We're saying that he's distracted with bigger things than us. And it's just, we're just not important to him. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he holds it all together. He keeps everything firm.
Yes.
And yet we forget that. You know, we watch too much news. We listen to too many pundits. We allow our fears to take us over. But there are things that we can't know.
And we're not supposed to know.
We're not supposed to. I love that verse from Deuteronomy. I've heard that before, but I hadn't really heard it applied in this way. I love that. I'm going to write that down. And then also that there are things that we just have to trust him with. We have to leave it with him. That I'm going to be okay. You know, I'm going to be okay because he promises us that, that ultimately he wins.
Right. And so we have to know that before we can trust that. And I thought of two of Ephesians 1 about that he is actually reigning and ruling. So above any president, he's, you know, it says Ephesians 1:21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. He put all things under his feet, gave him his head over all things to, not any political party, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the humble, flawed church, which is very unexpected.
I know. That is so true. And we have anxiety in our churches too. We have anxiety about everything. You know, it's just everywhere. And yet what you're saying through this really beautiful book is that integrity matters, that integrity comes from the word of God. We follow the word of God and it will bring peace. And God's peace, I recently learned, shalom, isn't the absence of chaos. It's peace in spite of and in the middle of that chaos. So we can have it.
Yes. And that's another promise of Jesus. My peace I leave with you, and not as the world gives to you, but as I give to you. And so we can't find peace outside of Christ. We can't find it in a body size, in election, and we can't find it by our own works, by our relationships. We can't find it outside of Christ. So I think knowing that gives me peace and relief of, oh, I can let go of striving for those other things, where this person doesn't have to win for me to be okay. Peace is not in those things. We can try and look for that, and we're not going to find it. We're only going to find it in Christ.
It's so true. It's so true. So when you were writing this book, was there a certain person, type of person? Did you have someone in mind? So who is that? We always, we're supposed to have an avatar when we write a book, but I always, you know, I think that's wise to have an ideal reader in mind. So do you have a person?
Yeah, I think it's for the Christian woman in particular who wants to feel strong, but there is a lot of uncertainty that is ruling her life. And so this will give her a path, a roadmap, if you will, to be grounded. Not that she can't have that right now, but sometimes we just need, something on paper, just get us started. And then once, you know, she can kind of go through some of these steps, she won't need this book anymore because she already has the word of the Lord. She just needed to be reminded of it.
Yep. It's pretty much sounds like almost every woman, I'm picturing a group of sisters in a living room, sharing what they're afraid of and praying together, learning together, standing on God's promises together, holding each other accountable to remember God's promises on a group text in between the time they meet.
When I went through it with friends, one friend was in the middle of a job interview and she had afterwards. And I think a lot of it was just from going through God's promises of she had this peace about her that she didn't have at the beginning. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not scared.
That's beautiful.
Which was very different than when she started.
Very, very different. And a great description of how you started with the alignment, that there's something blocking you walking forward. I think that's fascinating. We know the body keeps score. We know all that. We know that anxiety and emotions are felt and play out in our bodies. But that analogy is beautiful because when we're afraid, and of course, the enemy just loves to scare us half to death. I mean, he just loves to scare us half to death. And social media and the news and other people who are scared are his lovely tools in keeping us from moving forward, from standing upright, from walking our walk.
Mm-hmm.
And when we walk with integrity, when we're applying God's word to our lives and we believe it, we're not just saying it, we believe it for ourselves, things open up.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes naming it. You know, mine was bitterness. I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, God is very
sometimes
good.
Sometimes it takes the body of Christ to be able to name those things for us.
It's true.
And that's how we need to get together. And yeah, which is why I want people to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's peace in being together. We're supposed to be connected as a body and not just over a screen. Like the body's physical. So we need to be in the physical presence of one another.
We really do. And we've lost a lot of that. We truly have. So what is the one takeaway you can leave with my listeners about your book and your heart for your book?
Yeah, I think if you are feeling anxious today, I would encourage you to take some time to journal with the Lord and say, God, I am worried about this thing, or naming it, or Lord, help me to name what this is. And then I know that you have said, and look for the promise that speaks to that fear or to that worry. If you're not sure, you can get the book. There's lots of promises in the appendix, or ask a friend of what does God say about this? Mm-hmm. And then after you've done that, you can take a step doing what you don't have to have. You don't have to have the whole staircase to take one step.
True.
He has given you a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. So the light to your path is knowing that, hey, it's good. And so take that next step with the Lord and let his word lead you in that. Don't be afraid. Just, you know, walk in integrity. Take the anxiety out of it. A lot of times action is the cure to fear. We can stop living in the unreality of our own minds and live in the reality of God's presence. And then once you've done that, then you can learn to let the rest go. And that's a process. But it needs to be intentional.
Before we end, I have a question I want to ask you, and you're going to pray for us too. You touched on medication and you said, you know, that there's a place for that. But we know that it's so easy just to take a pill. It's so easy just to take a pill. And many medical professionals, if you say to them, I have anxiety, they're going to say, I'll give you something for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is certainly a personal choice and no shame taking medication for anything. But the truth is that there's a root cause for the anxiety. And whether you take medication or not, you've got to get to the root cause, or it will just chase you. If you do not deal with your mental health, eventually your mental health will deal with you. And medication is a band-aid for a lot of us. So can you say anything more about that before we end? I mean, it isn't a replacement for people who really need medication. I want to be careful, but sure. I also want to say it's just like dieting. Dieting will take the weight off, but we'll always gain it back if we don't figure out why we do it in the first place. It's a band-aid. So what do you want to say about that? Anything?
I think that we have to do the work with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
There's no replacement for that. We also have to let go of the results of what that work is.
Mm-hmm.
We can't say, if I work with the Lord on my anxiety, then I will be healed, because that's you taking control again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just encourage each person that he asks us to give our cares to him.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we not take advantage of that? And why would we not meet with our Heavenly Father and give him the cares of our heart? And then his peace will guard our hearts and minds. So anxiety is kind of us holding on to things. But if we can name it and give it, then we can receive his peace. And there's no other formula for that. So I would say that you have to do that. You have to do the work of the spiritual disciplines. And yes, there is help in the body of Christ of other ways too. But don't ever let something like that be a replacement. We have to do the work. And the work is good.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord will be there and he will reward you with his presence always. And that is a promise too. So I would say to do the work and give the results to the Lord.
I think I should have said this when I brought this up just now. Many years ago, I suffered from panic attacks, and we were going through a season in our home with a lot of unknowns and a lot of things that we didn't know how it was all going to turn out. And it manifested itself in me as panic attacks. And part of that was I was stuffing it all day long, going to work, just, you know, doing whatever I had to do to raise my children and all that. But at night, I was having trouble. So I went to the doctor and he gave me medication. He said, you know what? You're wired like this. You're going to be on this the rest of your life. And I thought, wow. Now, it instantly took the panic attacks away and I needed relief. I was not sleeping. I had three children, but I was on it for about 2 months and I came off it. And I have never had a panic attack again, but I've had plenty of reasons to over the years. You know, big losses in my life and more stress and things like that. But I have tools now. And I've learned to process it with God and trust Him that when I start feeling anxious, that's an indicator of something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I have to sit down with Him and ask what you're asking. You know, what is this? Where is it coming from? Why do I feel this way? And what's true about me and you, God? What's true about us together? So again, my story is not everybody's story. But it was not true for me that I needed to be on it for the rest of my life. That was absolutely not true. And a major thing was left out of that conversation, and that was God, the healer, the real healer.
Right. And I'm like, he really does fulfill all of our needs. And sometimes it is medication, but we can't let that be the primary source that we first go to. He wants us to go to Him first. And then He can lead us to the solutions that He's planned for us, whether in this life or the next.
Yes.
But He wants us to go to Him first. And that's beautiful. And that's building relationship. And that's building faith and trust. And there's no replacement for that. He is where we find our peace. And so the more we go to Him, the more that we believe that, and the more that we have that experience to lean on.
And trusting our own relationship with Him, our gut, what the Holy Spirit's telling us, and saying no to things that maybe we need to say no to. You know, because we walk with the Lord and we walk with Him closely and we're listening. It's an imperfect journey, but one worth taking.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So this is a question I ask every guest, if I remember, because sometimes I forget. And then they're gone and I can't ask them again. You are a young woman, but I'm going to ask you anyway. As you grow older, where is the grace in aging for you? Because you are growing older, even though you're young.
Right. And I will say that I'm 35. I noticed my first, I called it my silver hair 2 years ago, my little unicorn hair. I was like, and I got really excited because I'm a young looking person. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been perceived as young and inexperienced. I didn't like that.
No.
I wanted to be seen as wise and experienced. And so I thought, oh, if I have gray hair, I will be seen as older and experienced. But then I started getting lines around my eyes and I thought, oh, I really had to be curious about that. Of, I think that the world says I should not have these. And then of course, now I get all of these ads for anti-aging wrinkle creams. So there's that I have to understand, but the grace is in the privilege of aging, the privilege of the Lord giving me another day.
Okay. I just love two things you said. I had to get curious about that. And then you said something else. So I'm going to forget what it was. I should have written it down. But you were looking at the wrinkles with curiosity and not shame. Mm-hmm. And that goes back into the whole body thing that you and I talked about on your podcast, because, you know, it's happening anyway.
Yep.
It's happening anyway. And it is scary because the culture tells us, like you said, I have to ask myself, I don't think I'm supposed to have these. Now, what the heck are you supposed to do about that? So I love the curiosity. If women could do that, if we all could do that instead of panic. I have a story in my book about the first time I saw wrinkles around my eyes when I was in my 30s. And I just thought, are you serious? Like, I'm already fighting my body. Now I got to fight my face. It was just, it was just too much. You know, it was too much.
And that's the serenity of it, is being able to help me, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. We are going to age. And how can we as Christians give thanks for another day? And the aging is the proof of the grace that God has given us another day and more days.
Exactly. So, and the big distraction and anxiety that comes with trying to fight anything that's naturally happening in God's plan for us as humans.
Right. And it's proof that our outer body is wasting away. This is true. But along with that, our inward self is being renewed day by day. So yes. I still don't can't wrap my mind around what does it mean to be renewed? Because we don't have a concept or category for that. We just have older. We don't have concept for getting newer.
That's right. But we are. If we're still growing in Christ, we are. That I can say, newer. I'm 65, girl. I know that my inside is healthier, stronger, and in many ways younger than I was 20 years ago.
Right.
Because of God's grace and love for me and the healing and redemptive work he's done in me. So that is new. It feels new.
That's beautiful.
Endless, timeless, yes. Ageless. Yeah. All right. Will you pray for us as we end?
Yes. Okay. Let's just take a deep breath and let's align ourselves. So slide your chin back over your ears. Let your ears rest over your shoulders. Shoulders rest over your hips. Hips rest over your knees, over your ankles. Just feel that plumb line in your spine and know that the plumb line of the Lord is his truth. That does not waver. We can always lean on. If you have, you're standing on the ground, allow him to be that rock that you know to be under your feet, that you trust without even thinking about it. We want to trust you, God. We want to trust you as our feet trust the ground that we walk on. That is an instinct. Help us to let go of what we do not know, but we cannot control what is not ours. We give that back to you as an offering. God, the whole world is yours. We are yours. We're so thankful for that. Forgive us for the times that we doubt and try to take back control and for how crazy that makes us, for how anxious that makes us. We thank you for the perfect peace that you have given us. And we just receive that for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Casey. Thanks for coming on Still Becoming today.
Yes, thank you.
I truly hope that you've enjoyed this conversation with Casey Schuler and that if you are suffering with anxiety right now, that you understand that God's peace and shalom are available for you too. And if you'd like to purchase Aligned, Returning to God's Perfect Peace in an Anxious World, you can find that on Amazon. It's truly an interactive book, and it would be wonderful to do with a friend or two. Now, you will find everything that we talked about in the show notes, but if you want to follow Casey, and I really hope you do, you need to go to www.joyfulhealth.co, where you will find her podcast, her books. You will find blog posts and lots of resources for mental and physical wellness, Christian woman. Casey and her co-founder, Aubrey, have quite a bit going on the Joyful Health Company website. You really want to check it out. Now, next time on the Still Becoming podcast, I'll be back, I think, with an interview. That's the plan at the moment. You never know when I might pop in a solo episode. But I really want to thank you for being here. And a special thank you to those of you who reached out to me after episode 35. It meant a lot to me. Longing for More, The Unexpected Gift of Daring to Dream Again, was one of those episodes that I was a little hesitant to record and even more hesitant to actually post. But post it I did, and I'm so glad because so many of you kindly have reached out to me and told me that you saw your story in mine and it gave you hope to dare to dream again. So thank you so very much for that. It means everything. And I thank God for each one of you. May God bless you and keep you until we meet again. I'll see you next time on the Still Becoming podcast.